The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Well, it's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to be wide open today, which is I like. Eric and I are just going to rant because there's just the NFL this weekend was fabulous. College football, unless you're Penn State, was fabulous. U of A basketball, not fabulous. The World Series was fabulous. If you like guys tripping over themselves and scrambling to the plate and attempted to steal home and all that. So that's fabulous. I am just fabulous today. That's the word. Fabulous Monday. Usually Mondays are overreaction Monday. They usually are. You win games. Everybody's all excited. We're going to win a championship. And then you lose and the coach needs to be fired. And the offensive coordinator doesn't know what he's doing and so on and so forth. So we have a lot to get to on today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of business, taking care of your business. Desert Financial Credit Union, they have been with Sports 360 AZ coming up on 5 months now. We're very pleased with the partnership. They're so involved in the community, so many good people there. Desert Financial Credit Union, it's where we do our business. We appreciate their support. Here now is Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day. So you and I both decided to put some thoughts down on last night's Cardinals game. Where would you put that game in the last? Remember, the Cardinals have not had a playoff game since 2015. Where would you put last night's game in the last 5 years?
At or near the top, because that game had a little bit of everything. And you talk about a team win. Yeah. Last night was a team win. The star players, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Budda Baker, they played really well. And then you had other guys who, Brad, honestly, I've never even heard of on defense making big plays in the fourth quarter and in overtime. And it just goes to show you that a couple years ago, the Cardinals would have fallen behind. They were probably playing Seattle. Okay, that's fine. They're better. Let's pack things up and ride off into the sunset. Another loss. But there was like grit and moxie. Yeah, and there was an edge to the team. And I think my last thing, Brad, you know, it's great they won. It's great they're 5-2. But I'm looking at the rest of the division, and I'm saying, if you think the Cardinals are just going to, like, waltz through the rest of the year and into the playoffs, I mean, you saw what San Francisco
Why not?
Did.
Why
you
not?
Saw what San Francisco did.
Why not waltz into the postseason? I mean, look, they have extra teams allowed this year in the postseason. It's an expanded playoff this year, okay? And you have Miami coming off of a bye week. So the Cardinals are on a bye at the perfect time. To your point about last night, Drake Kirkpatrick is dragging his leg around. Kenyon Drake is sobbing, it looked like, over on the sideline. They had to cart him off. The injuries that the team suffered and had to work through, that game felt like Russell Wilson was going to throw for 900 yards last night by halftime. In the first half, okay, in the first half, Seattle had 377 yards of offense. In the first half. And somehow the Cardinals hung in there and were able to win a football game that you look at and say, they really have no business doing that because nobody can cover Lockett. Nobody can cover Lockett. And Russell was just going about his business. And Chris Collinsworth starting to mention, you know, last week the Cardinals, you know, they came after the Cowboys, well, it was the Cowboys, and they stink, as we saw again yesterday. And so as he starts to mention that, I think it was somewhere in the fourth quarter, because there's so many twists and turns, where he said, now we got ourselves a ball game here. Because Vance Joseph said, okay, we're going to come after. We're going to send Budda Baker after Russell Wilson, because he's pretty comfortable sitting back there and just picking apart the Cardinals, which he was doing. Like, I'm sure Seattle got on the plane and said, what the hell just happened? I thought we were in complete control of this game, right? I mean, didn't you feel that way that it's like...
Oh, for sure.
You know, it was 10-0, and it felt like it was 25, 35-0.
Just to your point, it's great that the Cardinals defense allowed almost 600 yards. And this morning, everyone is talking about the great adjustments Vance Joseph made late in the fourth quarter and overtime, and deservedly so. I mean, some people are saying he called his best defensive game as the Cardinals DC. And I guess all that matters is that they got it done when they absolutely had to. But I mean, yeah, it was Russell Wilson's just really good. He runs out there and he's a 5'10 quarterback and he gets sacked all the time. And then he just starts dissecting a defense. And it's impressive. I mean, a lot of those throws, Brad, were like such small window throws.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, both guys. And then Kyler wasn't sacked last night. In fact, the last time, I don't know the official numbers yet because the Cardinals will send out all sorts of stuff today as the day progresses. But there were no official hits on Kyler Murray.
That's great.
Official hits, none, and no sacks. So what have we talked about for years with this team? Their offensive line stinks. And last night, you go through a game like that, and yeah, the DK Metcalf running down of Buda Baker is one of the best plays that I'll ever see, and everybody's going to see that highlight. But and Chase Edmonds coming in and being just this, you wrote about him, just being this difference maker for them, kept them alive. If Kenyon Drake's going to be out a bit, it's not like they don't have somebody back there. He's a difference maker. And he's not afraid to get in and get, you know, messy and all that. So
I thought it was really cool on the post-game Zoom last night. Kingsbury said, you know, I hope every high school football coach shows the clip of DK Metcalf's effort tracking down Buda Baker. It's just a great example of, you know, don't give up on a play. And if Seattle would have won last night, that would have been the play everyone is talking about.
Right. Today. Well, and I don't mean to be rude, but I just got a text from someone who would know. For the end of the game last night, estimated 252,630 viewers with a 49 share. That means almost 50% of TVs in Maricopa County were on the Cardinals game. They had 250,000 people, 16.2 overall rating, 757,442 viewers, 44 share overall. 44 share! That's like, so the World Series here in town has been around a 7 share. So to give you an idea, how many people were watching last night and taking that in and saying, unbelievable what happened. I mean, those are monster numbers. Monster numbers.
That's to be expected, though. And I think it's great for the Cardinals. You know, they've been on national TV twice in a span of 7 days, and they've played really well in both of those contests. And it's cool because, you know, NBC, they have that flex. And who knows? Maybe the Cardinals will get flexed to Sunday Night Football again if they keep winning.
Well, they're off this week. Bye comes at a perfect time for them. You know, sometimes they get the bye like week 4 and you're just going, okay, they're done. They've got to go 12 weeks without injuries and all that. But no, the bye at about the midpoint of the season. And then they host Miami. To your point, could the networks look at Tua, if he lights it up, and the Cardinals and say, you know, that's sitting there. We could do that. Then they host Buffalo. Buffalo has been up and down, up and down, but Buffalo is the New York television market. Ooh, we want New York television market. So there's another one.
And the Bills are a good team. I mean, let's
they've not struggled lately. They've come back a little bit.
But they're more good than bad.
Then they play at Seattle on a Thursday night. So a lot of these, I think this is the week where we have that titanic battle of the South that they force everybody to sit through every year, which is Atlanta and Carolina. And I just want to take this pen and run it through my ear and on the other side because, like, who gives a rat's about? But I get it. It's regional. So then they have that game. Then they have at New England. New England stinks. I watched Cam Newton yesterday. I thought Tony Romo was going to come out of the booth because he was just ripping the Patriots defense and how lousy they looked and how lethargic they looked. And it's the second game that Cam Newton's been pulled out of. So I go through the next four. I always look at four games. What do the next 4 weeks look like? All right. So you're 5-2 and you look at these games, if Tua is any good at all, will be competitive against Miami. Brian Flores has them playing well. They actually look like a team that could be in the postseason this year. That game's not a sure deal. You saw the schedule last May, it was, oh, it's Miami, they're going to stink. No. And then the Buffalo game, you're hosting them. The Seattle game up there, that's going to be a coin flip. Are the Cardinals better than the Seahawks other than in overtime on a kick last night? I don't know. I can't say that they are. The fact the Cardinals are going to play up at Seattle with no fans, that's a huge deal for them.
You can't underestimate how big it is to play up there without any fans. And it's a Thursday night game, so, you know, weird things happen on Thursday nights.
Yeah, but I guess I look at last night and feel like Hopkins was big early, and then he disappeared, and then he came back a little bit. But really, Christian Kirk, Eric, I mean, that's our guy from high school days. Christian Kirk was down a few weeks ago, was not even on the field. I remember we had Kent on, Kent Summers, and Kent was saying, you know, Cliff Kingsbury thinks Christian Kirk can be a star of this league. And I was kind of like, well, you know, he's good. And then here we are the last few weeks. It feels like Kyler's looking for him more. And then they found number 11 last night. Number 11 had 8 catches. The Hall of Fame guy had 8 catches. Yeah.
That was nice to see.
Yeah. And so it feels like, I don't know if Kingsbury is coming around, if there's still times. Like the fourth down going for it, I didn't like that call in that spot of the game. That's just me.
Right. I think the execution, even though Zane missed the field goal at the end of regulation, I mean, to go get into manageable field goal range in 52 seconds against that defense with no timeouts is impressive. I mean, that's just, and they executed, Kingsbury really took what Seattle's defense was giving them, and they did it effectively. 8 yards, 11 yards, 7 yards. Spike the ball, stop the clock. And they just kind of methodically moved it down there.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I did not like the shot to Christian Kirk before the game-winning field goal. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you guys doing here? You know, do you really need to take a shot? Just get in range. I did not like that play call. I like seeing a guy like Hassan Reddick, who's done nothing. And now he has 5 sacks this year. I thought NBC put it out there well that the Cardinals were at the end with him, basically, because we've seen him do nothing.
Right.
And now they move him in position. He has 5 sacks this season. Isaiah Simmons comes up with an enormous play, obviously. Will it lead to more? Will it grow in his confidence? I don't know. I'm not one that believes it's just one play, because he was on a swivel. He was on roller skates the opening game against the 49ers. He just mm-hmm. was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I see Kyler Murray yelling at Daniels because he can't hit a block, I'm fine with that. There's times you and I yell at each other. There's times people yell at each other in business. It happens. It means we care. It means we give a damn. So, you know, he's yelling at his teammate, and I wonder if there's a problem with them. I hope there's a problem. You know, give me more of that. I feel like while the division, you look at it top to bottom, we'll see about the Rams tonight. You look at it top to bottom, because the NFC East is so bad with so many bad teams and the playoffs are expanded, why can't you take every team within the NFC West into the postseason? I'm not saying that, oh, to make them feel good. It's no, from a record standpoint, yeah, they're going to beat up on each other. Cardinals don't play the Rams until December. They are going to beat up on each other, but it's just the first loss for the Seahawks. And if the Rams go through Chicago tonight, I like the Bears defense a lot. I think they're much better with Nick Foles, but regardless, why can't you take every team within the West? They're clearly better than most of the teams in the NFC, especially the East.
I mean, yeah, they should just, the NFC East should just like give away their golden ticket playoff to one of the teams in the NFC West. Whoever comes out of that horrible division, just be like, you know what, you can take this playoff bid because you're more deserving than we are.
All right, so there's a lot there around the Cardinals that we chopped up. We've got college football over the weekend. If you had Oklahoma State as a team that was looking at the CFP 5 weeks into this makeshift season, you're the only one. We'll get into that. U of A with this level one violations. The Athletic was all over that. And then the World Series as well. All straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, on the college football front, ASU will go through workouts again this week. Their first game is at USC a week from Saturday. I am going to go. People have said, why are you going? I think the story of a 100,000-seat stadium that is going to be empty to me is very appealing. And I don't know if they're going to let anybody in, even in the parking lot, but I am going to go. Thanks to our partners at IBEW, Union 640. We appreciate them. I will be out there in L.A. We'll put some of that on the Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona. Eric rejoins us on the college football end over the weekend. So, Big Ten, did you find yourself watching any of the Ohio State-Nebraska game? Because that ended up being the highest rated game of the day by a mile. Did you see any of it?
I did not. I was too busy watching Spencer Rattler completely destroy TCU secondary. The game was on at the same time. But I did.
Your team, your mighty frogs.
Did watch the almost the entire Minnesota-Michigan game. It looked like it was about 5 degrees in Minneapolis. And if you took the over, you're probably still counting your money from all your winnings. But I was a little interested to see Ohio State at the end of that game against Nebraska with their backup quarterback who's from Scottsdale, who's really good. Conveniently, like, instead of taking a knee, call like a little quarterback draw and score a touchdown. And then Coach Day after the game, like kind of sort of apologizing.
Saying he didn't have the right formation in.
And you think about the history with Nebraska and all the things that happened during COVID. And it just kind of adds up to like, yeah, it's good that the Big Ten's back. It's definitely good that the Big Ten's back. So
good for
Jack Miller, by the way. Good for Jack Miller. That was good to see. So
I had some people that were texting me about Jack being in the game. And I tried to get out Saturday morning because I knew it was going to be a heavy viewing day of football and World Series. I've been caught up in the World Series, but Oklahoma State is what caught my eye. So Oklahoma State, their coach was just getting crushed during Black Lives Matter because he took a photo with a group that's associated with a group, and his star running back said, yeah, this isn't happening. And I thought for a little bit in June that they're going to make a change with Mike Gundy, who's a wild card anyways. Oklahoma State came into the game ranked 6th in the country. If I would have said to you, hey, who's the one sticking out here in the top 10 in college football, you might say Oklahoma State. Well, I haven't seen the poll yet today, but they beat Iowa State. And that's a good win. That's a good team. That's a top 25 team. So Oklahoma State's probably 5-4. I don't think they're one of the four best teams in the country because we all play the eyeball test of Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State, and we'll find one other. We all do that. But I like that story this year. I don't know if the Big 12's any good. We've seen so much of them. I don't know if the Big 10's any good. I thought PJ Fleck brought up a great point. I was watching Game Day Saturday morning where he said, we're going to have missed tackles and bad special teams play throughout our conference this first week. And guess what? he was dead flat right. Michigan special teams, Minnesota special teams were terrible.
Yeah, he rode the boat right into the crystal ball. Good for him. So let's see, Oklahoma State. I said to some friends of mine all the way back in the spring that I thought Oklahoma State would be the best team in the Big 12 this year. I still believe that. I think their situation is kind of unique because they didn't just have one bye week. I think that before they played Iowa State, their last game was 3 weeks ago. But they have a really good quarterback, they have a really good wide receiver, and they have a really good running back. And when you have that combination of those three, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah,
I don't think they are a CFP-worthy team. I think they're a New Year's Six type team. But the Big 12 is not good. I mean, it's not horrible, but it's not good. So we'll see.
Did Texas figure it out? That's the one I keep looking at Texas and saying, you know, if you guys are arguing over what the band should be playing while your football team's getting your heads kicked in again, and while your team gets a whole bunch of penalties, maybe there's a bigger problem going on in Texas. And so then that's what happened before they won a game. They won on Saturday. I guess on the Big Ten front, seeing Indiana win a game, seeing Penn State give away a game was probably, I don't know if it was, it made me chuckle the way they gave that game away. And if you're a Penn State fan, you just have to deal with it. That was a boneheaded play at the end.
What do I say, Brad, every year to you on this show? I take the first week and I basically take it out to the recycling bin, and I take the recycling bin out to the end of my driveway and it sits there. Okay? Rutgers beating Michigan State, I promise you, that would not happen if these teams played in the middle of the season. You know, even relating to the game, the high school game that you and I were at on Friday between Hamilton and Saguaro, why couldn't they just play that game like in the middle of November? Because it would be such a better product than what we saw out in Scottsdale.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later because there's a lot going on that front. I, on the college front.
But again, I think for me, everyone gets a pass in week one. Because, yeah, would Iowa State beat Louisiana if they played right now? Of course they would. Of course.
You're taking all the fun out of it from Louisiana. You're dissing on Louisiana. What is your
They're good. No, they're a good team. But, I mean, Iowa State's playing much better than they did in week one.
So. I just think Mel Tucker had to be standing there on the sidelines and saying, WTF, what right? have I gotten myself into?
Sure.
This Hello, is Colin. Rutgers.
Colorado, can I still come back? Is there a shot? I really loved Boulder.
Do you think East Lansing handles their losses to Rutgers a little bit differently? Oh, than?
I mean, it wasn't just a home opening loss. It was a home opening loss to Rutgers.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that. I like seeing Indiana have success because they're not going to have any other success, to your point, through the rest of the year, in all likelihood. We just don't know in this year. Mm-hmm. And in the Pac-12's case, so I don't know if ASU is going to be really good or not. I think they're going to be really good at quarterback. I think the fact that USC has a player that had to hold a press conference yesterday about FBI investigating him, and he had all of his teammates standing around with him, and the coaches said, don't go. And the players are like, we're going to go support our guy. I think that's really good for Arizona State.
And so USC, by the way. I mean, if it's going to happen at one of the Pac-12 schools, it just had to happen at USC, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. And so for the Pac-12, like I noticed on Saturday morning, then we'll take a break. But I noticed on Saturday morning during game day, look, I get it, ESPN, that you're a partner with the Big Ten. I understand that. And partners need to be embraced. But gosh almighty, when every story was about the Big Ten, it was like an infomercial for the Big Ten. And for the whole, if they did something on the SEC, like Tennessee, could they upset Alabama? Of course they couldn't. But if they did, it was a mention, and we got to get back to rah-rah and wave the flag and look at how great it is to have the Big Ten back. Now, are they going to do the same thing in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks? Is game day going to go set up shop outside of USC ASU? They should. Next week, game day is setting up shop outside of Penn State, Ohio State. They planned that out last week. Probably sitting there Saturday afternoon saying, no. Yeah,
right? Like, oh, man, this is our primetime game. We already promote it and everything. Oh, well.
And look at how Penn State lost. So
that happens.
Are you into what's going on at ASU this year? Do you feel like as big a college fan as you are?
I mean, I love Jane Daniels. I love everything about him. But I think I'm most excited to see ASU's defense because all those young freshmen and redshirt freshmen and true sophomores are now juniors and seniors. And I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking how good ASU's defense is going to be. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the season.
I think there's a lot of hype. I get it. It's college football. Everybody feels great about their team. I don't think U of A is going to be as bad as everybody's making them out to be, that they're not going to win a game and they're not going, we're rolling tape on this. So I don't think U of A is going to be that bad. They're not going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be that bad. I think this year of the totally unexpected, like people are, a lot of national guys are writing that Cal is going to win the North. And I look at that and think, how is that possible when Berkeley has been shut down a lot longer than Seattle or Eugene or Corvallis or Pullman? How is that possible? And so I just think the Pac-12 is going to be the unexpected. I really
and
do.
Cal's going to play good defense because Cal always plays good defense.
Right.
But
right.
I don't think they're better than Oregon. So.
All right, we'll step aside here. We have U of A and level one violations. What does that mean? And the World Series, and as Eric mentioned, there's a lot of high school. This is actually the start of the high school season all over again because transfers are eligible this week. We'll get into that after this timeout. All right, I want to talk in this segment about U of A basketball and the World Series, and I'll tie the two together, and then we'll finish up with high schools. Obviously, today everybody's buzzing about the Cardinals. We did a lot on them and a lot on the college football front. But I think over the weekend, U of A basketball, according to The Athletic, being leveled with level one violations. That's severe violations by the NCAA. And U of A put Sean Miller out for a video Zoom deal on right before this came out. And Sean's never going to say anything. And Sean is always going to be dug in because that's who Sean Miller is. Sean Miller has a year left on his deal. U of A is sitting there in a space of, if you're a Wildcat basketball fan and you don't know what level one violations are, go look it up. It's not good. It's not pretty in any way, shape, or form. This isn't, hey, they bought a coat and gave it to a kid. This isn't, oh, they bought him a meal. That's not what this is. And so for U of A basketball, to me, they continue to get players to come there and they continue to try the one and done model and they continue to not do anything. And now they're in trouble and not just a little bit of trouble. They're in big trouble. We had Rich Rod on this show on the football end. And he said how difficult it is to recruit to Tucson. Dave Hickey, the athletic director down there, from my understanding, is under fire by some people. I didn't go to Arizona State, so I don't care. This is not, oh, the Sun Devils are great. No, ASU's had their problems too, and I've talked about them through the years. This is level one violations. Like the NCAA could come in and put a master lock on the door when it comes to postseason. And maybe this is finally what gets Sean to move on, because you can't have this cloud hanging over your university for the last several years. There's too many big cigars or even former players that I've talked to that are like, you know, things just aren't right. And then you have the guys from the glory days, the loot era, and it's fine that they want to support their team. But you can't have Jason Terry and Damon Stoudemire and Steve Kerr and Chase Budinger and just go down the list of all those great names there to help out and support when something this egregious has happened. This isn't anybody on a witch hunt. Level one violations is nothing to mess around with. I don't know if you saw the story, E, but I think of everything going on in our state, and there's so much that U of A basketball has just been hanging around for the last couple of years, all the way back to the DeAndre Ayton stuff, when Sean shut the program down to anybody to have access when they were up at Oregon State, when the violations first happened, to now. So I don't know where you're at on this one.
I did see the story. Now, we don't know exactly what the punishment is, correct? We just know that they're level one allegations, but the NCAA hasn't announced, like, no postseason or cutting scholarships or anything like that.
They haven't gone down that path yet.
Okay.
And U of A is lawyered up. So, of course, they have. And, like, yeah, this just didn't happen. And you already had an assistant, a former assistant coach, and Book Richardson go through his time. So it just stinks. And yeah, I'm not down there. I'm not on the internal side, but I'll just tell you the optics of what's going on in Tucson. I saw Dick Vitale put something out on Twitter. Not that he's the end all of end alls, But he's like, really, really serious stuff coming down against the U of A. Yeah, and then U of A people are like, oh, well. I saw Greg Hansen had a great note in his Sunday column yesterday that he knows more names and faces on the women's basketball team at U of A than he does the men's team.
That's not surprising to me. Because
Coach Barnes is doing a great job. She's doing a great job down there. And it's not this factory of let's just put a guy here for 6 months and move on.
No, I guess U of A made their bed with Sean Miller, and they have stuck by Sean Miller through the good, the bad, and now the really, really, really ugly. And they have to ride this out. But you would think, Brad, that you mentioned this is the last year that he is under contract with U of A. I would be stunned if these two parties don't go their separate ways. However, 2020, 2021 ends up with U of A basketball, because it's just not working. I mean, they get all this talent. Can Sean Miller recruit? No question. Is Sean Miller a good coach? Yes, he's a good coach. Is he a great coach? No, he's not a great coach. He has not made the Final Four. He has not gotten U of A to that next level. And it seems like Sean Miller has been at U of A for like 57 years, doesn't it?
Yeah. And he's come across, he's just come across as, I am the smartest guy in the room. Nobody likes the smartest guy in the room. And U of A is in a position where you can't just, it's like, why is Kevin Sumlin still there? Because you can't fire the basketball coach and the football coach in the same year.
Right.
And you're already paying Rich Rodriguez to sit around and do his podcast. He showed up with us last week on it.
Good
for Rich Rod. Knock yourself out if you can double dip off of places where it didn't work out. But, you know, the point is they need new facilities. They want to upgrade their facilities. I feel like we always hear about new facilities at the U of A. They're landlocked with the facilities they have. And, you know, if your biggest game in town is your women's basketball program, that's great. That's great. I'm all about the women's sports, but the facts of the facts of the facts are they don't bring in the revenue the men's do. Just the fact. So could it change? I would hope so in my lifetime. But if you're going to bring in all these guys and you know right away they're only there as a stopover for 6 months, I mean, what are we doing here exactly? Like, I don't get what Bobby's doing. Bobby probably, he has a one and done this year in Josh Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know what?
For sure.
I'm fine with that because there haven't been many at ASU. And his whole roster isn't loaded up. Jalen Graham's not a one and done. He never was. He never will be. Remy Martin has come back. Which one is that? Stop. What'd you do?
I didn't do anything.
Did you step on him?
No, someone closed the door across the street.
Come on.
Relax. Stop.
Come on. Pick him up.
This is a live stream show.
No, we'll put
him
on the TV
show. I'll pick up on him. Hold on.
Come here. This is what we do.
Oh.
This is not heavy lifting, except if it's a dog.
Oh, look at that. See, this is right there.
That's a heck of a bark.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, stop.
All right, we're going to talk some... We're going to take a break, and on the other side, we'll finish things up with the World Series and the high school stuff. Eric's going to get control of his animals next. All right, a couple things before we get out of here. World Series, tomorrow night, Dodgers can win it. Just because the Dodgers are in the same division as the Diamondbacks, I don't care. It's not like I sit there and I root against them. Are you rooting against them to lose?
I tried my hardest not to watch any of the World Series, but unfortunately it was on over the weekend at one of my friend's houses. So
what is your problem?
Watched a little bit of it.
Why you hate on baseball?
I don't know. Like, I don't like the Dodgers, and I could care less about the Rays. And
they're a great story.
It's football season. So, you know what happens during football season. Baseball
just turn into a pumpkin.
Kind of takes a back seat. But yeah, the Dodgers are the better team, and it's been, from the highlights I've seen, it's been a good series so far. The Dodgers probably should have been popping the champagne already, considering their meltdown on Saturday night. But I think they're going to win the series. But again, that's like saying that I think the sun is going to rise in the east.
I know this. If they don't win Tuesday or Wednesday and they lose, Dave Roberts will be fired. I know that.
Which is ridiculous to think about, but you're probably right.
Yeah. So. I've had the agent world that said, that's this morning. It's if he doesn't win, he's done. So I think it's been a lot of fun to watch them. There's something about the Rays have this young group of nobodies, and they're just, they play like their hair's on fire and they have fun. And the base running blunders and this, you know, the plays that should be made that aren't made. For me, it's been a lot of fun. All right.
You know, the Rays never chase stars. They just trade stars. And yeah, they have the secret sauce to whatever that formula is. I mean, their payroll is tiny compared to the Dodgers. And yep, they're right there in all of these games.
I love that. So on the high school football end, yeah, you and I were together at Saguaro against Hamilton. It didn't feel special to me. I wrote about it.
Yeah.
I don't like how we're trying to shoehorn football in where Chaparral has 200 families that have been told to quarantine, but the stadium was filled for their game against Brophy, and people were sending me pictures. And some of them were masked up and some of them weren't. And it's just the stress on kids from what I'm hearing. It's just a bad situation. It just feels like if that Saguaro Hamilton game had been pushed back, to your point, to mid-November, like if the numbers at hospitals are closing in on 85% occupancy, then maybe we might want, which is where they were in June, then maybe we might want to say, time out. Oh, but wait, nobody wants to do that. We have to get our football games in. No, we don't. That crowd, that gathering at Saguaro Hamilton, come on. Did that feel special to you? If it did.
No, it didn't. It didn't at all. I mean, and it was unfortunate because Saguaro lost one of their best players, Denzel Burke, for the year. He had surgery on his shoulder. He's going to Ohio State. He wasn't available. Saguaro has a whole bunch of transfers that are eligible this week.
Yep.
I mean, they're not playing because, of course, Horizon is in the midst of their own COVID outbreak. And I just think a lot of this, Brad, it's going to fall back on David Hines and the AIA. Like, okay, to your point, the numbers are up. You know, we're kind of right back to where we were in the summer. And all these teams are, nope, we can't play. Yep, nope. And they're trying to, you know, you've got teams on Twitter saying, hey, we're looking for a game. It's, you know, are they just going to say, you know what, we just turn on the lights off on this season and just look at 2021? Because it could end, all that could end today, tomorrow, Thursday, whenever.
There's checks to cash.
Of course there are.
There's TV contracts, there's all those sponsor billboards, and people are like, oh, you're in the business. You know what? I'm a dad first. Yeah, I have a business, and yeah, we do some high school stuff, and we do it really, really well. But I'm a dad first, and this whole deal about we have to have our games, like, I heard some of the most ridiculous stuff coming out of the stands on Friday night on the Hamilton sideline. Just ridiculous stuff. And you know, I shouldn't be surprised at high school football that there's, and the only people that care are the parents. Because I know in my circles, most people are like, oh, they're even playing? Yeah. It's just daddy baller and mommy baller. That's it. Yeah, and I don't think it would break either one of our hearts if they said, yeah, we're going to pause for a couple weeks or we're not going to play. I don't think it would break some coaches' hearts that I've talked to.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was, you know, it was a close game. And I know you probably didn't see what happened in the end, but there was some of the Hamilton assistant coaches came out near midfield and they were chirping at some of the Saguaro assistant coaches who chirped back. And it wasn't the players necessarily that were running their mouths. It was the assistant coaches. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is just so typical of 2020. Like, this is, you know, you're looking to your coaches for guidance. And yeah, both of those staffs are amazing. They're all, especially on the Saguaro side, I know those guys really well. And I just think that you're not setting a good example for anyone when stuff like that happens. Everyone is under so much stress. Just congratulate the other team, whether it be with a fist bump or just a wave, and you go to your end zone and we'll go to our end zone and we'll see you guys in the open, because there's no doubt both those teams are going to make the open.
That's it. It's like the Chandler Hamilton game is in a few weeks. They've asked me to emcee the Battle of Arizona Avenue again. I love doing that. We're going to have to do it via Zoom. And those two teams will play each other again in December. So it's special for a regular season game. They're going to see each other again. That's just how it is.
Yep.
And I don't have a problem with that, but gosh, if you just look at where the numbers were in June and where we are today and how nobody is stepping forward saying, we're going to call a press conference, governor's office, or the AIA and say, we have real concerns. Yeah, we have all these games being canceled. Instead, it's on the districts, and a lot of the districts are just saying, we've come this far, we're just going to slog it through. And you don't know what harm or damage is being done for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You just don't know with this virus. The myocarditis, right. People are, you know, oh, you're just preaching fear. No, I'm saying it's best to be cautious. So, all right, good stuff. Get out of here. We have TV show to work on. Eric Sorensen there, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. The Iron Man is Jared Nielsen. We appreciate him behind the scenes. This show repeats over and over and over. Have yourself a great day.